You heard the text this morning, so if you got your Bibles, I'm just gonna go one place in that text to verse number 3 in chapter 2. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken of by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? I'd like to go back to them three words in there. I'd like to preach for a while today on so great salvation in that verse. So great a salvation. Let's go to the throne of grace first and ask God to help us. Amen. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord God. We thank you so much for the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and break open the bread of life, Lord God. I pray, Father, that you'll go forth here in this facility, put a hedge of protection around it, and open the ears of the hearer, that the Word of God will come forth and sink down deep into their ears and into their heart, Lord, that they can draw from them, from the Word. And if there be one here today that's here and doesn't know you as their Lord and personal Savior, I pray that your sweet Holy Spirit today will move upon their heart and draw them unto Thee. And all the glory and honor that comes from it, Lord God, we give unto Thee in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. So great a salvation. To start with, God thought it. God thought of so great a salvation. You can't begin to say the things and show the goodness of God. If the heavens were a parchment and the oceans were an inkwell and every man, woman, and child on planet Earth were a scribe and they tried to write the goodness of God in the heavens, they would drain the oceans of ink and never be able to fill the parchment, the sky, because my Bible tells me His hand spans the heavens. And you just take a look out there some night when the stars are out and see how big that is. But God thought it. God thought of salvation. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men in Titus 2:11. And that means all, A-L-L, that means lost and saved alike. They cannot even look out here at the creation and not think that there is a God. Nature itself shows us there's a God. And God, in Titus 3:4 through 7, but after the kindness and love, God our Savior toward man appeared. You know, God, through His infinite mercy and grace, in Lamentations 3:23 or 3:22 and 3, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion faileth not. They're new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. Great is God. Great is His faithfulness. They're new every morning." Hey, we can mess up today and we can get right with God because we got 1 John 1:9 in the Bible. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We can come right back to God and get it right. And He's not up there with a club wanting to pound us on the head. That's what I tell these men behind bars. I mean, let's face it. They didn't skip Sunday school to get in there. They done something wrong. And I try to explain it to them in a way that they can understand, in a way that God's Word will pierce their heart. And God wants to work with us. He wants to show His mercy. He wants to give us great things. And the greatest of all is when He thought of a great salvation for man, because He knew that you and I couldn't do it on our own. There's no possible way that we could do it. He mentioned it this morning. There's all kinds of folks trying to work their way. Don't work that way. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You can't work your way in. You can't get in but one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll get to Him in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself here. But back to Titus there in 5, it says, "But not by works of righteousness which we have done." See, that works of righteousness that we have done. No, it's not that way. But according to His mercies, He saved us. Praise God for His mercies. Amen. In Titus 3 there, 4 through 7. And the washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Ghost. Oh boy, some people get upset nowadays when you mention the Holy Ghost. They think you're going charismatic on them, but it's right there in the book. Amen. And I want everything that God's got for me. And that's the Holy Ghost. That's His job. That's His name. Which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. Heirs. You know what that means? We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. When you get into the family of God and this so great a salvation, we have something to look forward to that can't be taken from us. Because it's an inheritance. God don't lie. He can't give you something and then take it away from you, can He? No. We can't lose it. I mean, we got this inheritance. Hey, and I'll tell you what, this inheritance is for the lost and the saved alike. It's offered. It's out there. People should think about that. They should think about eternal life. How long eternal is. Think about that word one time. If you're here today and you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, eternity is a long time. You know, the Bible says that 70, 80 by strength and soon we're cut off and fly away. I'll tell you what. What is a score? It's 20 years. 60, 10 is 70. What's that? That's not that much. Pastor Darrell's crowding it right now. Amen. And I'm right behind him, a year behind him. Amen. But then 70 by strength, that would be 80. And soon we're cut off and we fly away. Well, I want to know where I'm going. Don't you? I mean, I talk to these folks behind bars, and they a lot of them, you wouldn't believe how many different ways you're going to find out how to go to heaven. But there's only one. There's only one, but you'll hear it all in there. Amen? Because they hear everything under the sun. According to Luke 3:6, it says, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." All flesh. That's lost and saved alike. They'll all see it. He said, "Look unto me." In Isaiah 45:22, he said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else." There is none else. All the gods of the nations, according to the psalmist, are idols. All of them. They're all wood, stone, metal. They're all statues, something that was made with man's hand. How can somebody possibly worship that? And not worship the great Creator, the great God of heaven, who thought so great a salvation. He thought it. Jesus brought it. Jesus brought so great a salvation. We know the story when Jesus was born and the angels came to the shepherds in the fields. They didn't go to the palace. They didn't go to the king. They came to the common people, to the common folks. And He told them that this day there's a Savior in the city of David. There's a Savior born. That was Jesus Christ. He came as a mild-mannered babe in a manger. Basically 2,000 years ago. But when He comes back again, it's not going to be as a mild-mannered babe in a manger. It's not going to be that way. But so great a salvation, it was brought by Jesus. He brought it to mankind because man could not get to heaven. And God sent him that he could have this. You remember when the people came to him and they were wanting to know if he was Jesus and everything else, and the Pharisees, they were always trying to work their way and everything else. And over there in John, I believe it's 5:39-40, Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life." He didn't say they couldn't come. He said they wouldn't come. See, it's available. It's there. And it's the most well-kept secret on planet Earth. I was lacking 3 months of being 50 years of age when I met the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that I can't ever remember of anybody sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with me prior to that time. I don't know, maybe my ears weren't open. Where I went, the Bible didn't go. But I'm sure glad that December 16th, 1992, God saved a wicked old sinner like me. Woo! Come the 16th of this year, it'll be 18 years, Brother Joe. 18 years ago that He saved me. And I've asked Him to allow me to preach in prison till the day I die. Because I want to share the glorious gospel in prison to the men behind bars. And I've asked Him if I even thought about going back to the man I used to be, that He'd kill me right on the spot before His enemies had a chance to blaspheme Him. Amen. I didn't start this old fight right in this world, and neither did any of us, because we were born in sin. Wherefore, as one man sinned in our own world, death by sin passed upon all men. We were all sinners, but I want to finish right, amen? I want to finish right with the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to share His message. I want to share what Jesus done. See, Jesus came, and for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent His Son into the world not to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is a condemnation. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. They won't come to the light lest their deeds be reproved. See, mankind, lost mankind, will not accept the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will not come when He calls. And it's there. It's free. It's been offered. I mean, He tells us in John 16:7, nevertheless, I tell you a truth. It is expedient. It's expedient that I go away. For if I go not, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him. See, Jesus, He is in control of everything. He is the one that... That I got ahead of myself there. That was the wrong verse. I didn't want that verse. It was Hebrews. In Hebrews 10:7, He says, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do Thy will, O God. His will was come to seek and to save that which was lost. And each one of us, we should want to do that too. You understand, when He birthed us into the family of God, we just did not get it so we could sit around. In Matthew 28:18, 19, and 20, He came and spake unto His disciples, saying, go ye therefore. Put your name in there where it says ye. Go ye therefore. Teach all nations. Teach them what? Teach them about me. Teach them about the truth. Teach them about me. And baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have, key word, commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. The key word is command. This is not a book of suggestions. It's a book of commands. Amen? In Matthew... Or in Hebrews 1:3, it says there, who being the brightness of His glory and express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. He purged our sins. He paid our sin debt. He's the one that did it. Praise God. Amen. Jesus Christ brought it. He brought so great a salvation. In Matthew 4:17, it says, from this time on, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. A lot of times nowadays, they say you preach repentance, you're preaching a work. You better believe it's a work. It's a work of God. It always has been and it always will be. God's going to bring you to an altar of repentance, and He's going to show you your wicked, sinful self before He sets you free. That's exactly right. And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to repent of your sin. And not just pray one of these little flippant prayers. You're going to repent of your sin because you're going to know you sinned against Him and Him alone. And then it's going to be a continual thing because you don't get sinless perfection. Only your soul and spirit got saved. This stuff didn't. Believe me. It's just as rotten as it was before you got saved. If you don't think so, don't wash it for a couple of months. You'll find out. Amen. But Jesus brought it. Jesus brought so great a salvation. The Holy Spirit wrought so great a salvation. In Ephesians 1:20 it says, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. See, that word wrought is to equal He's effective, efficient, effectual, and fervent. That's exactly what the Holy Spirit is. We can't see Him, but He's here. See, where two or more gather, He's in the midst. See, when Jesus went back, He says, it's expedient that I go, that I send a Comforter. That's a paraclete to walk alongside, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost of God. He comes in God's stead. That's what it tells you in John 14:26, for the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How many times have you talked to somebody? How many times have you been out there knocking on doors? All of a sudden, Joe, a Bible verse pops out. Who did that? The Holy Spirit. But if you don't put nothing in, He hasn't got anything to pull out. You know what I mean? He's the one, the Holy Spirit, in so great a salvation. He wrought that salvation. Acts 1:8 says, "But there shall be, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the world." You notice there was three places there, folks, before the uttermost parts of the world. Within the boundaries and confines of their own borders. Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. We've dropped the ball. The United States of America has dropped the ball. We got missionaries from foreign countries coming over here trying to share the gospel with our people. We're sending missionaries overseas, yes, but we've dropped the ball right here. We have the largest incarcerated population in the world in the United States of America. And what are we, seventh or eighth in population of the world? There's something wrong with that scenario. It's because the gospel is not being spread. That's because folks are not sharing the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our country was founded, and what made our country great was the preaching of the Word of God. That's what made our country great. God's man standing and thundering out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas now, well, I don't even want to go there. But, you know, they got such a mess on television, it's pathetic, some of the stuff that you'd have to see. But that's the reason our nation is in the condition it's in. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if we really love him, we're going to keep his commandments, and we're going to go and do what Jesus told us to do, because he's our example. He was set forth as an example for you and me, for us to do what he wanted us to do. He didn't just leave us here to sit, soak, and sour in a pew. He left us here to go out and spread the good news. That's what he left us for. Even the Spirit of truth, whom you cannot receive, because he seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. See, the natural man, he receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For the simple reason, for they are foolishness unto him. See, neither can he know them because they're spiritually discerned. Well, see, the world walks by sight, which we don't. We walk by faith. See, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, so I'm just going to put my hand in his hand and walk with him and let him take care of the rest. I mean, it's Jesus or the Holy Spirit. That's who God sent. He sent him to help us and for us to continually be with us. In John 16:7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient to you that I go away." See, he said it was expedient that he went away. "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come." And I know he's come. He's here. He dwells within me. He leads me. He guides me. He directs me. And I know he does you too, who know him. And so we need to walk, and we need to walk with the Holy Spirit, because he's the one who wrought it. We are of God, according to 1 John 4:6. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth us not. Whereby know ye the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. If they know God, they're going to listen to what we got to say. If they don't, they're going to have to learn to know, or they're going to have to meet him. I want to give you these two verses here before I go down here into error further. But wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And that's in this world or in the world to come. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or in the world to come. I got news for you. God's vicar on earth is the Holy Ghost of God. He's not in Rome, amen? He's not God's vicar on earth. The spirit of error, there's a price for erring against the Holy Spirit of God. Listen to me now. You remember the story of Simon? Simon thought he could buy God's power when he saw the apostles lay hands on it, and he gave money to try and buy it. His heart wasn't right with God. He wound up being blind for a season and had to be led around. So there is a price to pay for error. What about Ananias and Sapphira? I mean, they saw that some people had given money in the church, and they gave so much to the apostles, and everything was spread out for everybody in their needs, but they held back part of the price. And when Ananias came before Peter, Peter asked him, he said to him, "This made you, how has the devil, basically, as I paraphrase, made you lie unto God through the Holy Ghost?" I mean, I believe it, yeah, it's Acts 5:3. Peter said unto Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart with lies of the Holy Ghost, and to keep back part of the price?" Well, when he heard that, he gave up the ghost, and he dropped dead right there. And then Sapphira came in a short time later, and Peter asked her the same question. "Did you get so much for the land?" She says, "Yea." And he told her for her line that the men were at the door that carried her husband out. They wound her up and carried her out. You know, when you lie to the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you what, things get rough. I don't mean to be negative or anything else, but I'll tell you what, most churches throughout our nation, if God dealt with them like he dealt with Ananias and Sapphira, they'd have to have a morgue in the basement of half of these churches. Amen. They'd be dropping like flies for lying to God. And then also the Holy Spirit, you know, the Jewish nation played baseball with God. And they struck out big time. Strike number one, they rejected John the Baptist. When John the Baptist come, the Bible says he would send a forerunner. When they rejected John, they rejected God because they rejected God's forerunner in John. So then strike number two is they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. "We will not have this man to rule over us." And they had him put to death by Pontius Pilate. Well, then strike number three is when they rejected the Holy Ghost. You remember when Stephen preached to him and he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did." So they got out the rocks and they stoned him. Well, that was strike number three. The next chapter, you see Paul being saved and being sent to the Gentiles. Praise the Lord that God sent Paul to us. Amen. And so God thought it. Jesus brought it. The Holy Spirit wrought it. The blood. I got to get going. The blood brought it. See, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Right? In the book of Leviticus over there, it tells us, I believe it's 17, I think it's 17:11 over there or whatever. It says, "I give you the blood upon the altar to make atonement for your soul, for it's the blood that maketh atonement for your soul." See, that blood had to be shed, and it had to be a perfect, spotless, sinless sacrifice. It couldn't be something, it couldn't come out of the Aaronic priesthood, because the Aaronic priesthood was corrupt. It had to come out after the order of Melchizedek. And that's what Jesus came out of. It's the high priest from the order of Melchizedek, because when he stretched out his arms and he said, "It is finished," it was a done deal. He could say that because the blood that run through his veins was the blood of God. That's whose blood run through his veins. And then he took that blood and he took it up. When that happened, that temple veil was rent in twain. He took that blood up on the mercy seat in heaven. He set it down to make atonement for my sins, your sins, sins of the world, past, present, and future. Amen. So the blood bought it. The blood bought it. Now I'll tell you what happened after the blood bought it. The devil fought it. Oh yeah, the devil fought it. He fought tooth and nail. You remember in the garden, the first thing when he showed up, this is no new thing. Divide and conquer. He showed up and he went into the garden and he said to Eve in the garden, "Yea, hath God said." First mention out of his mouth, he cast doubt on God and on God's word. And as it goes down through there, you know, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. For the fruit of the trees which are in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, he didn't say you shouldn't touch it, but that's neither here nor there. Lest you die, you were going to die, whether you ate it or not. But see, Eve shouldn't have been down to the supermarket talking to the snake, because you're going to come up on the short end of the stick every time you talk to the snake. Because he's got his agenda. He sets up a dialogue. He gets people sidetracked, gets them away from God, because he's so subtle and he's so slippery. Amen. That's just like these off-the-wall books and Bibles and preachers. I'm telling you, I hear them sometimes, and they got the slime of the serpent all over them, because they're not preaching the truth and they're not preaching it out of God's Word. And the devil, when you see in verse number 4 over there in Genesis, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. What do you do with verse 2:17? Going back one chapter, when God said, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil ye shall not eat of it, for the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to believe God. I'm certainly not going to believe the devil. Amen. I'm certainly not going to believe the serpent. But the devil, he fought it. I could give you all kinds of scriptures going down through here about the devil fighting. And he's fought from day one. He hasn't changed. He will not change. He's relentless. Even if you're a saved individual, what he wants to do is get you to sin. You cannot lose your salvation, but you can break fellowship with God. So you're not any good use for God until you get right with God. And that's what he's trying to do. That's what the fight's all about, you know. I mean, I'm hell-proof. I couldn't go there if I wanted to, because I'm a blood-bought, purchased possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if he can get me to sin, then it breaks fellowship with God. And then when I try to do what I need to do for God, I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, you better be prayed up when you go in to the devil's backyard, and that's where the prison is. I mean, that group of people in there, there's a bunch of them in there that they aren't really overwhelmed to see you, I might say, you know. I mean, they just don't bend over backwards and say, come on in, we'll talk about this, you know. A lot of them don't want to. I've been cussed at, spit at, you name it. But it's not a big thing. I'm still going to keep on going, because if only one gets the truth and gets set free, it'll be worth it all. Just one. This whole planet is not worth one human soul and everything on it. It's just not worth it. Okay, God thought it. Jesus brought it. The Holy Spirit wrought it. The devil fought it. Now, the Word taught it. The Word of God taught so great a salvation. We must know that we're a sinner. Amen. Before you want to get straightened out, you've got to know what you are. According to the Bible, in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All means all. Me, you, everybody. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. That's payment for being a sinner. Death. But the good part is the second part. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But it also tells us, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that the penalty for sin. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It also tells us, he that believeth on the Son hath life. And he that believeth not, what happens to him? He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. I want to read you a poem, and I want you to listen to this. It was wrote by a prisoner by the name of Walt Hurdle. And it goes something like this. I'm a dumb old country boy. I'm just a dumb old country boy that ain't so very smart. And when I talk, I get mixed up. My gears are hard to start. It seems I don't have brains like other folks I know. And when it comes to cities, my dumbness there I show. I found it don't take brains, my friend, the best of life to gain. It's not your wealth or what you are or prestige you might obtain. It only takes just simple faith, the eternal life to find. No matter who or where you stand, there's grace for all mankind. I went down to the jailhouse once to witness for the Lord. I told them how the Lord saved me. They sure looked mighty bored. They nudged each other and they smiled. They thought that I was dumb, but they stayed in and I walked out when leaving time had come. I'm still a dumb old country boy. I hope I'll always be just dumb enough to trust the Lord for all eternity. So I'll just keep traveling on, no brains and not too smart. Just a dumb old country boy with Jesus in his heart. I'll tell you what, I read that and I added this on the bottom. Friend, you might have heard this poem today and still do not believe. Well, I'm just going to make it plain. It's Christ you must receive. Oh, yes, you can walk out that door with sin all through your heart. You can take the devil's lie as you now depart. But, friend, if you'll just stop and see, God sent the Lord to set you free. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ to set you free. How does that happen? He told us in John 3:3, He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We have to be born again. And there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. And that name is Jesus. How are we born again? 1 Peter 1:23-5. Being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is grass, all the glory of man is the flower of grass. Grass withereth, the flower thereof fadeth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And that is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That gospel, friend, is not a new thing. According to the psalmist in 19:7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." This is His law right here. Why is it perfect, converting its soul? Because it's a schoolmaster to bring you and me to Jesus Christ. That's what it is. But the second part of that verse in Psalms 19:7 says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." His testimony you'll find in 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." God sent His Son to pay the price. Tobias, the Word teaches it. I mean, praise God that we can go through Him. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture now in 1 Corinthians. I gave it to you earlier, but I want you to listen to it. "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." The Holy Spirit of God has got to show us in our heart where we stand with God Almighty. Listen to His invitation. Pastor Brown's going to be coming now, and we're going to give an invitation here. But I'll tell you what, in Isaiah 1:8, God says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." No matter what you've done, no matter how many times you've sinned, God offers salvation. And the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and draws you. If the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with you today, respond. Just mind God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.